As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Late night, midnight on the interstate. I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. If you're not an Athletic subscriber, well, there is no better time to subscribe. Black Friday deals galore right now. Now until November 29th, you can get into The Athletic for just $1 a month for 12 months. That is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, just think about that, $12 for the year. TheAthletic.com/straight from the source. Go to there right now if you're not an Athletic subscriber. What are you waiting for? The Wild are the Central Division leaders. You have to go, and all they do is come back late in game, score a couple 6-on-5 goals a game. If they can only score 5-on-5 or 5-on-4, they wouldn't have to wait for that, but I digress. My guest today, Steve Goldstein, one of my best buddies, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Florida Panthers, took over for Dave Strader. Before that, Jeff Rimmer. Goldie has been around South Florida media forever. He's a Channel 4 sports caster. He used to be on WQAM. He's done Olympics. He does NHL Stanley Cup playoffs for Westwood One. He does tennis. And maybe this year he'll get to cover a Stanley Cup champion. Who knows? The Florida Panthers, best team in the league right now, has just been absolutely awesome. So hopefully everybody enjoys this podcast with Goldie. One of my best buddies, as you can see, we have a long time history together, as you'll find out soon on this podcast. How about the Wild? Interesting road trip so far. They go and they play two of the best teams in the league, the Florida Panthers, who's leading the NHL in points, and the two-time Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. And the game in Florida, they could have won. They scored a couple 6-on-5 goals, but wind up scoring, falling by a goal. And then they go into Tampa Bay. Next night, they're down by 2 goals twice in the game. And for the third time in franchise history, they erased a pair of 2-goal deficits and wind up forcing a shootout by once again scoring 2 6-on-5 goals in the game. Kevin Fiala and Joel Eriksson Ek scored the goals to force the shootout. Could have easily had won like they did 2 weeks earlier in Pittsburgh, where they get a late buzzer-beating goal by Ryan Hartman to force the shootout, and they ultimately win there. So Wild still leading the Central Division, and man, it's just, they make it fun every single night. Now the question is, could they start to get better goaltending earlier in the game? This is a team, very uncharacteristic right now, averaging 3.22 goals against per game. Not getting the greatest goaltending, yet if you look at the analytical numbers, they're defending really well, even with this new cast of characters on the back end. So right now, this really does appear to be a goaltending issue, and if they can start to get better goaltending from Cam Talbot and Kaapo Kähkönen, maybe they can make some noise here in the Central Division. But they make it fun. 7 goals this season on 6-on-5 situations. That's absolutely ridiculous. In 18 games. I mean, that's ridiculous if you think about it. Let's see what else is going on. Ran into Tricky Ricky Rick Bronwell, the Wild's old equipment manager last night. Assistant equipment manager. He came to the game here at the former Ice Palace. Now the equipment manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, which gave me an indication that the Flyers are in town. So guys like Chuck Fletcher, Brent Flair, and I just ran into Mike Yeo on the street and talked to him for a while. Guy never ages, former Wild coach. He's in town going out with some of the Wild old assistant coaches like Darby tonight and things like that. Right now, we're waiting to find out, and maybe by the time this podcast is out, what the extent of the injury is to Jared Spurgeon. He's been limping around. It doesn't look awful, but it definitely, all indications from the team, it sounds like they're not expecting him back anytime soon. He went to go get an MRI today and whatever is ailing him in the lower body. The good news is that they did that here in Tampa. Normally, if it was totally, like, catastrophically serious, you would think they would send him immediately back to Minnesota and see their doctors, but they did those pictures here in Tampa Bay. And then the question is, will he fly back to Minnesota tomorrow? Will he go with the team to New Jersey? But he is still in town and supposed to go to the Monday night game tonight here, so we'll see. But the Wild brought up Kalen Addison. They played Jordy Benn for the second time this season in Tampa Bay. We'll see if Kalen Addison goes and plays in New Jersey. Kevin Fiala, big goal there in the final 3 minutes. In Tampa Bay. It was third goal of the season. This came one day after there seemed to be tension brewing between him and Dean Everson, like there seems to always be. There seems to always be a different sets of rules between Dean and Kevin Fiala and everybody else on the team. Kevin's paid the piper for, one, not scoring, but turning pucks over, not taking care of the puck, not showing attention to detail in his own end. Wasn't on the power play in a must-score situation in the third period at Florida. Back on the power play in Tampa Bay. Then, again, has some trouble scoring goals from a couple feet from the net, but they're with 52 feet from the net. Inside 3 minutes to go, he scores the big goal that allows them to eventually get the tying goal and force overtime there by Eric Sinek in the final minute. Again, gets the big assist from Fiala there. Kaprizov sets it up, and Matt Dumba did an awesome job. One, forcing Andre Palat into a hit post on an empty net situation with a great hustle, and then just unbelievable ability to tiptoe the line to get the puck down low to Fiala before Fiala got it up to Kaprizov, who got it down low to Eric Sinek for the eventual tying goal. So we'll have to pay attention to now what's going on with Kevin Fiala. Definite trouble in paradise. There always seems to be tension between him and Everson, who they have a long history together in Milwaukee. The Wild are trying to continue to go out and maybe add a top six forward or potentially a center. I believe that they've talked to Vancouver about JT Miller. JT Miller makes more than $5 million a year, $5.25 million a year. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Just do the math. If the Wild are going to make that deal, it's going to have to be a contract going back, and Fiala would probably be that contract. The question is, does that make sense for Vancouver right now? We will see. But if the Wild are willing to trade Fiala in that situation, would they be willing to trade him in other situations? Carolina has long been interested in him and some other teams as well. But I think the writing's on the wall. I don't think Fiala will be here by either the end of the season or the draft. Like, I think it's a better than 50-50 chance that he's not on the team next year with 2 years up until free agency and the Wild's dead cap situation coming up in the next little while. Ryan Hartman got lucky today. He got a fine of $4,200. It's better than the alternative, which could have been a suspension, which means that he wouldn't have played in New Jersey on Wednesday night. Hartman, second dangerous trip of the season. He got away with the Bowen Byram one without even a fine in Colorado 2 or 3 weeks ago. Last night, you couldn't miss the slew foot that he made on, I believe it was Ross Colton, and just not a good play. The good news is it felt like what avoided the suspension for Hartman is that I think he realized right away what he did, and he held the guy up from really potential scary situation of hitting his head on the ice or whatever. But slew foots are it's just a dangerous play, and Ryan's probably going to stop with these trips. Again, goaltending to me is the biggest issue right now with this team. They got the depth scoring, their special teams are starting to get better, but they've got to get some saves here by Talbot and Kakanen. I know they're making big saves late in the game, like even Kakanen made some unbelievable saves in the third to allow them that chance to get back in the game, but you can't give up four goals every single night, and that is what Talbot and Kakanen are doing this year. This four times in seven starts now. for Talbot giving up four goals. It's just not good enough, and they've got to get, you know, maybe they wouldn't need these late game heroics if they got better goaltending throughout the first 60 minutes of a hockey game. So that's one of the things that we're going to have to pay attention to. Big week coming up for the Wild. They play in New Jersey. Then they come back for finally a homestand where it just feels like all season long. They come home, they play a couple games, they head out again. Come home, play a couple games, head out again. Now they'll actually be able to unpack at home and you know, enjoy Thanksgiving with their families, and then all of a sudden have a big homestand coming up before they head out to Edmonton, San Jose, LA, and Vegas again for another big homestand in early December. As I mentioned, Steve Goldstein, one of my favorite human beings, one of my best buddies, he's next here on the podcast, but here's a word from some of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, there have been three play-by-play guys on television in Florida Panthers history. One was the great late Dave Strader. A couple years, and then he went over to Dallas and Phoenix as well. And Jeff Rimmer, who is here for an eternity, took me under his wing years and years and years ago at Miami Arena. And then Steve Goldstein, one of my closest friends down here. And Steve, welcome to Straight from the Source. And Steve, you have long been one of the hardest working media people down here in South Florida. I mean, it's amazing the amount of things that you have your paws in. You're a longtime sportscaster on CBS. You do, you were forever on WQAM doing a morning show. You do Olympics, tennis, Westwood One hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs, everything, and been the voice of the Florida Panthers for many, many years.
I think I have a new agent.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks,
exactly.
Mike.
How do you, I mean, honestly though, like even when I was down here in Florida, you had your paws in everything. That's where I first learned about you, was on WQAM.
Well, you know, obviously, and you get this too, doing what you do for such a long time at a high level, a lot of young people that want to get into this business, because you never work a day. Although some of those delays you have flying, you might differ. But it's such a great job. And that's the one thing I always say. It's three simple words. Never say no.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't know what door is going to open. So, for example, when I was doing the morning show on WQAM, this is 100 years ago to some of your, you know, younger listeners, of course, it may as well have been the 1940s, the 1990s.
Right.
I was doing Dolphins and Hurricanes pregame and postgame on the radio, and Boog Shambi was doing the Panthers.
Yep.
And the Marlins decided to add a pregame show to their radio broadcast. This is in their fourth year of existence. So Boog had to leave the Panthers in February to go to spring training.
Yep.
And someone had to do the Panthers pre and post game. And they asked me, and I was like, great, that's how I got my foot in the door with the Panthers. And here it is a million years later. And thankfully, you know, great job being on TV.
Didn't you do live shows down in the lower bowl for a while? Because I used to have to come down there before games to come find you, right?
Yes, we used to do, you know, we did all kinds of pre and post game. We would do them in the arena across at the mall here. There was a Hard Rock Cafe back in the day. So on Saturday night games, we do live from the Hard Rock. We do 2 hours of radio before the game. So it's one of the, number one, when you grow up like I did, and you know, it's always what you want to do since a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say, hey, you want to go to the Orange Bowl and host the Hurricanes pregame?
Yeah.
Sure I do. You bet I do. So, and I'm a junkie, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, I love all the work. You mentioned the million things, you know, getting ready for tennis. It's like a whole nother world, you know, watching matches on YouTube. you know, I don't have much else going on, I guess.
And you do Dolphins preseason football on TV down here with your doppelganger, your identical twin, Jason Taylor and Kimbo Camper. I still remember when
Taylor has a little more money and he's a little bigger and a little better looking. Other than that, yes, we're identical.
It's funny though.
And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. I still remember back in the day when I was covering the Dolphins during the 05 lockout. That was a fun team. That was when Wannstedt was fired and Jim Bates took over.
Yeah, Jim Bates, very good. Yeah,
Rick Spielman was the GM of that team, and I had to do a freelance gig for the Akron newspaper, and I did a big feature on Jason Taylor, and it was still one of my it was honestly one of my most fun things that I did during the lockout. It wasn't even for the Sun Sentinel.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool one, by the way, for me. Even though I've known Jason over the years, and he's a big guy, and just physically, but doing the games with him.
Yep,
that was one of those. Even though I've been doing this forever. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Football Hall of Famer. I mean, greatest. I think he's the only guy in history with 135 sacks and 10 touchdowns. Like, that was pretty cool working with him.
Is he married to Zach Thomas's?
Not anymore. No. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, new wife. Yeah.
Okay, so there we go.
And that's a new baby, by the way.
First awkward moment of the podcast.
And his sons, by the way, play college football. One's at Arizona.
Okay.
The other one is at St. Thomas, the powerhouse here in South Florida, where Jason is defensive coordinator, and he is committed to LSU.
Wow, that's cool.
So there'll be another generation coming.
That is really cool. Something that you said, obviously we want to talk hockey here, but something you said, and I think a lot of people sometimes listen to this podcast when I get broadcasters on or other beat writers on, and young people especially, how to get into this business. And I did a podcast at a restaurant called Tuttle's in Minnesota the other day, and I met with this kid before, and he asked me a lot of vocation advice and things, and the one thing that you said that I said verbatim to him is never say no.
You can't.
I mean, do you remember the start of my career, the things that I would have to cover?
Yeah, you did everything.
Cross country,
right?
And I mean, I was doing everything. There was one day in the Sun Sentinel on 1C, I had a hurricane story, a dolphin story, a heat story, and a panther story same day. I think the Heat signed Dwayne Coswell, the Panthers signed Esa Tiikkanen.
Wow, the names.
Dan Marino redid his contract to get Yatil Green under contract. Something with the Hurricanes too.
Those are some names. That was 1997.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's a great name.
Remember they signed
Esa Tiikkanen after he beat the Panthers and eliminated him in the spring of 97 in the first round of the playoffs.
That was that little tampering on the ice when they were shaking his hand Tiikkanen said to Doug McLean on the ice, "You got to get me here." Or something.
It didn't work out great, by the way.
No, it did not. I have so many Esa Tiikkanen stories. It's unbelievable.
Funny guy.
Yep, it's unbelievable. You know who I saw in the press box the other day in XL Energy Center was Johan Garpenlöv.
Okay,
The coach of the Swedish national team for the Olympics.
He's coaching now.
But
okay.
He also picks the team.
I knew he picked it. I didn't know he was coaching.
Yep, so he is coaching the Olympic team. I think it's going to be his last year, he said. But he was scouting guys like Klingberg and Eric Sinek and Brodin for the Olympic team. And one of the greatest lines in Panthers history, Johan Garpenlöv, Rob Niedermeyer, and Scott Mellenby in 95-96. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
So, Goldie, let's talk about this Panther team right now. 9-0 at home going into tonight's game against the Minnesota Wild. And this podcast will come out Monday. So the Wild either won or lost. I'll tell you on Monday.
No lying.
So the Wild either cracked the egg or didn't. But what is going on with this team? Because this is, for somebody that covered this team as long as I did, this is exciting to see.
What happened, Mike, is they finally, and I use the word finally with a capital F, and actually let's go all caps and exclamation points, change the culture.
Right.
I mean, they've tried to, over the years, the whole, plight of the franchise from, bringing in Mike Keenan a couple of times and just, keep trying over and over again to get it turned around, and they just could never really change the culture until they stuck with this core group. Huberto, Barkov, Ekblom. I mean, these guys have been here, 8, 9, 10 years, and they played, 12 playoff games,
right.
But they kept sticking with them. And Joel Quenneville came in, and Vinny Viola is owner, and then hired Bill Zito, and they got the culture changed.
Yeah.
And that's really the key. Hornquist, you may think I'm crazy with all the great players and the run of the cup final in 96. He may be the most important player in this franchise's history.
Really?
Because if he doesn't come in, and he's the key in getting the culture change. I mean, he's the guy that walks in with the cups from Pittsburgh and has no qualms about, and hockey players, it's you want to take a step back. You don't want to step on anybody's toes, Hornquist came in and he took over the room.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the bottom line. These guys were looking for someone because Barkov, Ekblad, and Huberdeau, you know, they lead the way more on the ice than off the ice. They're great players. And Barkov, I mean, you know, works his butt off, first guy on, last guy off. So Hornquist comes in and does that. Bill Zito makes the trade. He had to waive the no trade from Pittsburgh. And he was told, not only do we need you to come here and play, we need you to come here and do all this stuff. And he had no question about it. And one of the first practices, Mike, they were out there. Guys were starting to skate off. He called everybody back. He goes, no, we got to work on special teams. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of guy you have with him. And it's just built from there.
Yeah.
And that's really made a huge difference.
Yeah, Andrew Brunette basically said the same thing yesterday. And it's really interesting because Paul Fenton, the old Wild GM, is the senior advisor here in Florida. And I think if you put Paul Fenton a hand on a Bible, he'll say of all the incredible draft picks that he's played a part in, that Patrick Hornquist was the most proudest. Last pick in the draft, the year that he was taken.
The year Sid was number one, by the way.
It's crazy, in 05. And here he, you know, has a great career in Nashville, goes to Pittsburgh, wins a couple cups, and then obviously comes down here, and Wild fans will probably hate him tonight because he loves to crash into the goaltender. Bruno, man, you know, I know how this is really uncomfortable situation for him because he is very close with Joel Quenneville, obviously. So a lot of conflicting emotions for him. Gets the unexpected call that he is going to take over. They take Tuomo Ruutu, who's the eye in the sky. Mikko Koivu's best friend, by the way, puts him on the bench. Ulf Samuelsson, Derek McKenzie, former captain of the Panthers. Curtis Foster is, I think, best friend.
Who's Ulfie's best friend?
Yeah,
you don't know that one?
Yeah, no.
I don't know either.
but it is pretty, you know, they got a pretty impressive coaching staff here, and Bruno steps in here. They're 5-2-3 going into tonight's game with him behind the bench. He's starting to get his footing, it feels like, and getting more comfortable.
I agree 100% that he's getting more comfortable, and he made the change last Saturday night in Tampa. Things weren't going well. They're down 2-0. He puts Huberdeau and Barkov together, tweaks the lines a little bit. They score a couple of goals, and they get a point in that game, and then they come home, and they've just been, again, continuing the dominance at home. And that's really, to me, you know, some of the big signs. They all love Bruno. I mean, who doesn't in the game?
Right.
And he's been here for a few years as assistant coach. And the key is this team is so good. They didn't want to change anything.
Right.
So he hasn't changed anything. Why would he change anything? But he puts his own stamp on. He always, you know, everybody wants to tighten up a little bit defensively. And he's starting to do that. But when they came out, the game against Carolina that Saturday night when the Hurricanes were 9-0, the Panthers were 9-0-1, they find out 20 minutes before the game, Barkov's hurt, he's not playing.
Right.
And they come out and storm him. Go up 4-0 and blow out Carolina, who was the Panthers' nemesis last year. You know, the one team the Panthers had trouble with last season in the regular season was Carolina.
Right.
They won the regular season series from Tampa and pounded everybody else in the COVID divisions. So that game, I was like, whoa, okay. And then they come home from that road trip. And the last two games of the trip, they played pretty well, got a point in Pittsburgh, a point in Tampa. They come out from the road trip and do the same thing to the Islanders the other night.
Yeah.
They go up 4-0 in the first period. So, you know, whatever Andrew Brunette is doing, it is working. I know the leadership on the team is so strong. I mentioned guys like Hornquist, that it's one of those situations where, and I think a big part of the reason they didn't bring anybody else in, you don't want anybody tinkering with this thing. It's so good. If they were 15th in the league, sure, you could bring somebody in and maybe change some things. And you know what happens in sports? Everybody gets that first job, right? Someone hired Mike Russo to write before he had ever written
Fred Turner.
So there you go. Yeah. Bill Zito and Vinny Viola, the Panthers owner, maybe the Fred Turner of Andrew Brunette's career.
Yeah, I said to him the other day, I said, do you expect to be the next Craig Berube?
Right.
And he goes, I just want to get through tomorrow. I'm just looking at the next game. I mean, Bruno's got a good perspective. And he was talking about what you just said the other day. You know, they were on an 0-2-2 slide. They played really well in two of those games. Mm-hmm. And the key, though, is to come out and snap that, because even though you're playing well in two of those games, if all of a sudden it starts to build and build and big, next thing you know, you have a long losing streak. And so, you know, what he wasn't happy about in that little four-game slide was just sort of game management stuff.
Yeah, they got a little loose, especially the first two games, the ones they lost in regulation. Then the other two go 3-2 in overtime. I mean, they had Tampa beat. Vasilevsky made, I'm sure everyone see the highlight, the ridiculous save.
Yep.
If you haven't, look up Vasilevsky on Ekblad, you know, in 2021, and it was just an absurd save in overtime or else. But they come home, and then they outscore the Devils and Islanders 10-2.
Yeah.
I mean, just dominate. I mean, blow them out of the building.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm watching Joe Thornton on the ice, and I think of all these great, great players that have actually put on this uniform. Pavel Bure, Igor Larionov, Jaromir Jagr.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you can go through the list of actual Hall of Famers that have played for this team and things like that. How, and you and I have both seen in South Florida when fans embrace this franchise. I mean, this building used to be sold out all the time when Pavel Bure in a clutch and grab era scored 58 and 59 goals for this franchise. We saw them at Miami Arena when this team went to the Stanley Cup final in the third year. How incredible would it be to show the rest of the league that likes to crap on this franchise all the time that this team can embrace, that this market can embrace a franchise, and this franchise could be something special for many years?
There's no doubt it can. And, you know, here in South Florida, where these teams haven't been around that long, so there is no, you know, grandfather and dad taking the kid to a game. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Now, we do have kids coming to games because they're dad. We have kids playing in the NHL now, including Duhaime on Minnesota, that grew up and played here, and a handful of others. So it's coming along. But here in South Florida, as you know, Mike, we got a lot of transplants. You got a ton to do. I mean, in the winter here, it's 75 and sunny.
Yep.
You know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you got to give people a reason to come. And, you know, they haven't done that. I mean, they still haven't won a playoff series since 96. Last year, you know, in the playoffs, I mean, if it got to, they were like 15,000. There were still some COVID protocols and some people reluctant. You know, in game five, there were 15. If it got to game, if the Panthers would have won game six in Tampa, there would have been 20,000 people standing room only in this building.
Yeah.
They've never played, Mike, think about this.
Yeah.
A second round playoff game in this arena.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They've won
five
playoff games in this building. Fans have walked out of this building five times ever after a playoff win.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you only have 12, 13,000, I say only, you know, you got to win a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now, this year, they are, and the fans are embracing this team. Both our TV ratings are way up. They were low before, so I'm not going to lie and say, you know, but they're way up from what they were, and the media is covering the team. They know something special is going on, but as everybody in Minnesota knows, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs are the best tournament in hockey, and, you know, you got to, once you get into that, fans really get alive in it, and they haven't been able to do that yet.
No doubt. It's crazy when you just said that, because I'm thinking, I just pictured myself in 97, 98 in this building in a hard hat, and the fact that they haven't won a playoff game. I mean, I'm looking up in the upper bowl right there, thinking of Luongo's Legion. Remember them?
Right. Yes, I do.
It was Roberto Luongo's now father-in-law used to come here with all his Italian buddies with drums and all that stuff. And
remember
really
this as well.
I
should add also that, you know, so two ownership changes in that time.
Yep.
And sometimes
constant GM changes, constant coaching changes, constant player changes.
Over and over again. Now they're in a great spot now because Vinny Viola is so committed not only to the team, I mean the payroll, the Panthers, you know, got what, $80,000 under the cap and paying coaches. I mean, Joel Quenneville was the highest paid coach in the league or right up there, and they're building a new practice facility east. You know, that's all out of the owner's pocket, $65 million to refurbish the War Memorial. And because all the players live over there, they'll practice there starting next season. So you now have a firm hold in year seven of ownership that is 1,000%, I mean, committed both to the community and financially to the team. And that makes a difference, too.
That's awesome. It'll be sad to see Incredible Ice not used anymore, though.
Well, it'll be used for the youth hockey. Now, I've gotten it good for the last 20-something years because I live out west.
Right.
So. You know, maybe Mike Russo can give me, maybe I could send an invoice. You could buy me a condo east or something.
I will do that.
So
I will do that. You know, it is the other thing that's like, I said this to Duhaime the other day, and who I just think is pretty, it's, you know, born here in Coral Springs, grew up in Parkland, right around, you know, in Heron Bay there. Used to read the Sun Sentinel when I was writing them, writing about this team, which is pretty cool. But it is amazing. Like Jacob Chychrun and Brandon Duhaime grow up in South Florida, and the Panthers haven't won a playoff round since they've been alive.
Right,
that's
amazing.
That's absolutely unbelievable.
And you could add Shane Gostisbehere, and you could add Riley Stillman to it. Stillman played with Jacob Chychrun, his kids. Andrew Peak from Parkland as well.
Yep.
And Chase Prisky,
whose
dad worked in this building.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it's kind of like the Matt Grizzlick story.
Yeah.
And he used to come to games. And he'd be running around the building while his dad was working. Unfortunately, his dad passed away some years ago. Chase Prisky became the first South Florida kid to play for the Panthers.
Yep.
And all the emotion. I know his mom was here. She's a high school teacher here in South Florida. If his dad, you know, could have only seen it. I mean.
Yeah.
So it's great. There's some great stories now.
Terrific. You get to work with Jeff Chychrun a lot. He actually did some games with you last week as a color analyst. He does pre and post for the Panthers. He's got to be just super proud of what his son has become in the National Hockey League. Absolutely. Could have won the Norris last year if he was on a better team, quite frankly.
You know, I believe besides the people that work there and fans, I talk the most Arizona Coyotes hockey of anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm around Jeff. So we're leaving. Where were we last week? So we did the game, Madison Square Garden. We're leaving and we're getting that elevator at the Garden to go all the way down. And, you know, I hear him in the back of the elevator. There's all employees in there, like 20 people in the elevator. He's like, oh, man, gosh. And we finally get out of the elevator and I see he's watching the Yotes game, you know, the late night game. This was like 9:30 Eastern time. He's watching it on his phone. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. You know, his son, I mean, it's unfortunate. Jacob's such a great player. Obviously, it's, you know, the rebuild of all rebuilds. Yeah. I mean, they're just...
Tough go for him this
year. It's a tough go for him. Great player, great competitive kid, but he's sticking through it, you know, and you know what they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yep.
But yeah, Jeff is obviously, I mean, you talk about a proud dad.
Yep.
Wow. And he's a great guy.
Tough hockey player.
Yeah, like he was tough. Yep. I remember him, yep.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Do you still do Goldie's Gang?
I still do Goldie's Gang.
Tell everybody about that, yeah.
You know, it was back in the late 90s. I would look around and go to Marlins games, you know, working for the radio station. And, you know, just you see empty seats in these buildings. I'm like, why don't you put some kids there, you know? Because my dad didn't take me to games. I would not be doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, you know, I grew up in the era where there were no cell phones. We didn't even have cable TV in Brooklyn, New York at the time. Like, you had to go to the game to see the game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you were home listening on the radio in your room. So my dad used to take me to Mets games and Rangers. We had Giants season tickets and the Knicks we used to go to. And I said, you know, we should put some kids in these seats. There's a lot of kids, you know, that either don't have the money to do it or the family structure or parents are working. So I asked the Panthers, hey, if I start this thing, will you give me tickets? And they said, sure. You go find the group. So I started a thing called Goldie's Gang. 20 years later, we do, you know, golf tournament every year.
Yeah.
And we've raised thousands of dollars. It's still send kids to games. And now a lot of it, and there's a lot of hockey because we know how expensive it is to play hockey, especially travel. You'll give away thousands of dollars a year to families here in South Florida so kids can, you know, can play, whether it's, you know, even if it's $500 to help them out, you know. So, yeah, it's going great. The community has embraced it. I mean, the Panthers, you know, support it all the time.
Yep. When did you move down here?
I moved to Florida December 1st, 1994.
Mm-hmm.
The last game I covered in New York. You know, I was doing radio, FAN, all this different stuff, CBS, was the Marino Spike game.
Wow.
At the Meadowlands.
Wow.
That Friday, I moved to Florida, one way, crazy. Newark to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty neat.
I covered Heat Knicks that night, by the way, December 1st, 94.
That's like when I became the Panthers beat writer. I covered Rangers that night. Rangers, Panthers at Miami Arena. It was like, I remember just going there, just like, what is going on
here?
It was pretty... Pretty neat.
The lady in Newark said, where's your return ticket?
Yeah.
She said that to me. She goes, I don't have one.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Florida.
That's awesome.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's funny you brought up New York because obviously I'm from Long Island and I still remember growing up too, like, you know, watching Jigs McDonald on Sports Channel and all those Islanders.
So you
games.
Had cable on Long Island. We didn't have cable yet.
Well,
in Brooklyn.
No, we
they were
actually,
still fighting.
To watch it, we would go to our friend's house.
Oh, because your friend had the cable.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And I think only the road games were on
Road Sports games
Channel.
Were always on. Okay, but road games for the Ranger and the Islanders, still a lot of them were on Channel 9. WOR.
Yep.
So you could see the road games, but if you wanted to see, this is incredible to people that, you know, that are younger. If I wanted to see Rangers Flyers of the Garden at night, 7:30, if I wanted to see the highlights, I had to stay up for the local news, 11 o'clock sports at 11:20 to just see the highlights.
Yep.
Otherwise, you never saw it.
I was talking to this with Dane Mizutani, the pioneer press writer for the Wild yesterday about what it was like back in the day. Like if you scooped somebody, you had to live with it the whole day. There was no updating the website or tweeting it out when you caught up. So, I mean, that was a big deal back in the day when I was covering the Panthers, trying to get that scoop.
Yeah.
You know, and we had a great cast of characters here with David Neal and Brian Begain. David Neal from the Miami Herald, me and Brian Begain from the Palm Beach Post. And we were here. We're on the Media Wall of Fame there, which is
pretty
neat.
Yes, you are when you get off that elevator. Yeah. I see you every day.
Yeah, I know. It does feel. I have lost a little weight since then. So,
yeah, you look terrific.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Lastly, you know, I was just thinking, do you remember that time like when I first moved to Minnesota? I picked you guys up at the St. Paul Hotel.
No,
it was it was like 0 degrees and we drove out to Mystic Lake, the casino. I think you were like in my 4Runner's like cab of the 4Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember we were watching, it's my like really first winter in Minnesota. And we were watching the temperature gauge just go 0, minus 1, minus 2.
It was a little chilly.
Yeah, it was pretty warm. And then the other thing, didn't you have like a phone issue once that had to bring you like T-Mobile?
I thought you had the phone issue.
Oh, was it me?
I think you had the, yes.
Oh, okay.
You picked me up and I went with you. You had the phone issue.
Oh,
we went to your apartment and you either left it there or you had to go, yes. And we went to a phone. I remember that also.
Okay.
Now you're making me question myself. Maybe it wasn't.
I thought it was you.
Had the phone issue.
I don't know. Well, it's pretty, it is amazing how long we've known each other. I mean, even just the similarities of where we're both from. I wanted to go to Syracuse. You did go to Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Your in-laws lived in Boca Point. My parents lived in Boca Point.
They still live in Boca Point.
Yeah, that's pretty. Remember all those Panthers players back in the day lived in Boca Point. The Fitzgeralds, the Lindsays, the Burnses.
When the franchise first started, right? Whoever was, quote, in charge, you know, of real estate, that's where they all lived.
Because remember, they practiced it in Pompano Beach at Gold Coast Ice Arena.
Yep, and it's still there, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I went visited with Radek Dvorak and Olli Jokinen three or four years ago there.
They knew some stuff out of there. And a lot of the South Florida kids, I don't know if you know, Cole Codsey is a player in the USHL. Mm-hmm. The Codsey family, the kids are very good hockey. I think one of them plays for Bentley College. They have this 3-on-3 tournament. There's a small rink there every summer. And they were NHL players that that played in it this summer. It's like the best 3-on-3 tournament you'll ever find.
Yep. Tell everybody your Twitter address, Goldie on Ice.
Goldie on Ice.
Goldie on Ice, so you can watch him all the time at Bally Sports Florida. I know I get honestly tweets all the time from people that know me well in Minnesota that love your telecast as well.
I appreciate
you,
that. I didn't
know
that.
And Randy Moeller. Yeah. Randy's been here forever since he was a player. My mom taught his kids in elementary school, which is always hilarious whenever
that
I catch up.
That is funny. Yeah, that's right. Your mom taught. Yeah,
son Landon, I think it is. And I think Landon, right?
You'll have to brush up.
I never can remember. Hey, Steve, always appreciate it. It's always fun catching up. And, you know, just lastly, how far do you think this team can go? I mean, I know you and I have talked all the time about the high expectations of this team. But this one seems like it's got the makings of something special.
Yeah, legit cup contender. They get the goaltending. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking through some of the advanced stats when I was sitting up here with you. Panthers are number one in the league at save percentage and high danger opportunities. I mean, this Spencer Knight kid, you know, he's 20 going on 40. I mean, it's incredible. Just the calmness. I mean, he gives up 10 goals in the two games in New York and New Jersey. At 20 years old, he says, well, that's a good thing. You know, you got to go through this stuff. How else do you get better?
Right.
Like, come on, man. At 20?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying? Like, maybe when you're 30, you say that.
Yeah.
Or we all say, hey, if I knew at 20 what I know now, I'd either be a millionaire, I'd be whatever. So they continue. If they get the goaltending, they got the high-end skill. They got the offensive ability. Obviously, they lead the league in goals. They've got the speed. They got a great top pair. They're a legit cup contender. I mean, the East is a beast.
Yep.
You know, they got to play Tampa. They still got to beat them 4 times out of 7, beat that guy in goal 4 times out of 7, which nobody's been able to do.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they're one of the handful of teams that legitimately has a chance at it.
Yeah. Lastly, the Spencer Knight comparison I'm thinking right away is Roberto Luongo. I remember Roberto was traded here in 2000. We go to Minnesota. I'm staying at the Airport Marriott in Minnesota, never envisioning that in 4 years I'd be living there. But they're winless in 7 games. We go to XL Energy Center. Luongo has a 0-0 tie against Jamie McLennan. And after the game, he goes, I never thought I'd get my first shutout with the Panthers before my first win.
Right. Isn't that amazing? Back to the day of ties.
Yep. And here he is still working for the Panthers 21 years later.
He's even remarked about Spencer Knight's and Luongo himself is one of those that has kind of intimated, boy, if I was like that at 20, you know, he took things in his words, you know, sometimes too seriously and worried about different stuff. And Spencer Knight is just an amazing, what everybody said about him for the last 5 years, right? Since he's 15,
right?
Because he's so young, that's amazing. It's only 5. That it's all true about, you know, born to be a goalie. Never makes a great save because he's always in position. And they never look great because he's square to the shooter and handles the puck. I'm telling you, the other night against Jersey, like a third defenseman out there. I mean, really amazing.
Yeah, which is pretty neat because we used to see that all the time from Brodeur.
Yep,
always say that about the. Remember, that 2000 playoff series, the best team that I had covered in Florida. Mm-hmm. They lose 4-1 in 5 games to Jersey, and they just could not get past Brodeur.
By the way, another guy that hangs out in Boca Raton a little bit, Marty Brodeur.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Everybody lives down in Boca.
That's true.
Do you see Pavel Bure come to games or no? He's always down in South Beach. So.
He's around. I know he's come to some games, but I've never seen him come to a game. You know, it's amazing here in South Florida.
You should write a book on the Panthers lore. Remember the whole love triangle with him and Fedorov and Anna Kournikova?
I remember you. I think I might have even been sitting next to you at the skate when Anna came walking down the steps with the sunglasses here at FLA
like little
Live
dogs.
Pav at 9:40 for the 10 o'clock skate.
Yeah. That was always a fun time. I mean, that was cool. Like when Val Bure was playing here, and you remember how much like Mike Keenan would love Pavel, but he would treat Val like crap, and it was just like never could explain it.
That's Iron Mike, right?
Yeah, I mean, is absolutely Iron Mike.
Times that by how many in his coaching career?
Yep, yep. But that was always cool. You know, we'd have, remember, we had like just celebrities galore with Candace Cameron, yep, Anna Kournikova, Nikki Taylor was dating Rob Niedermeyer.
That's right.
Brad Ferentz was dating Michelle Kwan. Mm-hmm. It was like crazy the number.
And there may not be as many dating now, but there's so many people come to Florida that kind of, and I do tennis, you know, as you mentioned, so many tennis players come to Panthers games, totally under the radar.
Yeah.
Totally unnoticed.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how many, and golfers too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, hey, Goldie on Ice on Twitter. You could always turn on the telecast and watch Goldie, Steve Goldstein on Bally Sports Florida. Goldie, thanks a lot for joining.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Thanks to my buddy Steve Goldstein for joining straight from the source. As you can tell, he and I have a long history together. I've known him for a long, long time. One of the great play-by-play guys in all of sports and one of the great, most respected media guys in all of South Florida. And hopefully the Florida Panthers go a long way and give him something to call and the fans down there something to cheer about. Hopefully everybody enjoyed this podcast. Great week of the Minnesota Wild ahead. They play in New Jersey on Wednesday. Unfortunately, they'll be without Jared Spurgeon. We'll see if Kalen Addison gets into that game. Then they go home and they just played the Tampa Bay Lightning, had one of their most exciting games of the season. They'll go home on Sunday and play them a 2 p.m. game 2 days after playing the Winnipeg Jets the day after Thanksgiving, which is always kind of a snooze fest at XL Energy Center. The tryptophan comes out after a lot of turkey, I think, on Thanksgiving. Then the Wild play the Arizona Coyotes, which usually is a free space on the bingo card. Then the Devils at home, then the Maple Leafs at home, and then the Wild head out on the road again. A lot of really cool stories coming up in The Athletic. Really gut-wrenching story that will come out on Tuesday. I wrote today about Boris Sadecki, the player that died over in Austria on October 20. Actually, he died on November 3rd. The incident happened on October 29th. Tyler Nanny, who everybody in Minnesota knows is Lou Nanny's grandson. He was in that game. And what's amazing about that is Boris passed away from an inflammation of the heart. And in 2015, Tyler Nanny also had the same type of condition of myocarditis. So it really shook him to not only play a shift with Boris that game and have to unfortunately kneel over him as he was going through this traumatic experience, but it really reminded Tyler of what he could have happened with him in 2015. So hopefully everybody reads that story. And obviously the other amazing part of the story is that incident actually happened from 15 minutes from Marco Rossi's home. And as all Wild fans know, Marco Rossi also had myocarditis earlier this year. So just a really, you know, emotional story, and hopefully everybody reads that. Also on Thanksgiving Thursday, I'm going to be really writing a really cool piece on Rem Pitlick, a family piece. Another really emotional story. I had an amazing interview with Lance Pitlick, who I covered in Florida, and also his mom, Rem's mom, Lisa, and hopefully everybody reads that. So that'll be coming up in this week's edition of The Athletic. And if you listen to The Athletic, if you read The Athletic, you know we have podcasts galore. Sean Gentile and guest co-host Max Boltman have The Athletic Hockey Show this week at The Athletic. And Rob Pizzo from CBC Sports and Jesse Granger and Sarah Sivian have The Athletic Hockey Show Wednesday at The Athletic. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to leave a rating and review. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all your bonus content from the entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. That's less than a dollar a month. That's crazy. That's insane. Starting Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time through midnight on the 29th, you can get The Athletic's best deal of the year, $1 a month for 12 months. When you visit theathletic.com/straight from the source, so go to theathletic.com/straight from the source right now, and please go ahead and get all your sports coverage you know and you deserve, because it won't get better than this. Talk to you next week, everybody.